Hi everyone, this is Cedric at Pay to Exist, and I am today with a special guest, Peter Fritz, that I wanted to interview for a little while now. And Peter is one of our tribe members at Pay to Exist, and he also went through our 365 Days to Freedom program that I think he completed about a year ago or so. He can correct me if I'm wrong.
That's about right.
And Peter is now managing the blog midlifetribe.com. And I'm really excited to have you here, Peter. How are you today?
I'm very well. Mind you, I've just come from a four-hour Christmas lunch, which I wasn't going to go to. I was going to use you as my excuse not to go. But my wife said, no, you got to go. You got to show your face there. And we waited 3 hours for the food to come. And I had three bites and then I had to leave to come and talk to you.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
No, it's all right. The food was terrible.
So I don't know if I should be sorry because you had to leave or because you had to go.
No, you gave me a good excuse to leave a bad restaurant. So right. Thanks, Cedric.
That's not too bad then. So hi, Peter. And I guess to start the interview, do you mind giving us a quick feel of who you are and what the Midlife Tribe project is?
Sure. Well, basically, I'm a walking cliche. I'm a 49-year-old father of three kids. Luckily, I'm married to an amazing woman, third time lucky. I live down, well, three's always been my lucky number, three kids, three wives. Hopefully, that's the only, that I don't go beyond three with the wives. But I live down the bottom of Australia near the city of Melbourne. Mm-hmm. But I grew up about 80 kilometres south of there on the beach. I spent most of my childhood around the water and also in the mountains in Victoria. Victoria's blessed with a fairly good mix of landscapes. We've got gorgeous beaches, pristine beaches in a bay, in a protected area. Plus, we have ocean beaches. We've got some beautiful high country mountains that get snow in the winter. And we also have desert. And a place, considering it's a place that's only the size of the UK, it's got a pretty good variety of landscapes. So I've spent a lot of my time growing up outdoors, but these days I spend a lot of time writing and podcasting and working on marketing strategy for a handful of businesses. So I spend probably 12 to 14 hours a day in front of a computer screen. Mm-hmm. But as for Midlife Tribe, that's a weekly blog and a podcast that essentially aims to... Well, I describe it as offering a blunt assessment of the issues that midlifers face, the common things like money worries, not having enough time, right up to the good old midlife crisis. So my job, as I see it, is to, having gone through my own midlife crisis, had my own financial failures, been through divorce twice, all this kind of stuff, I see my job as offering sort of a guiding hand, a bit of a touch of wisdom if I can, and the occasional kick up the arse. Mostly with the noble objective of helping people to master their midlife, their time, their money, and their life. So that's kind of me and Midlife Tribe in a nutshell.
Okay, that's really cool. And how did you come up with this idea? I guess, I mean, you said you went through your midlife crisis yourself. But how did you come up with the idea to turn that into some kind of place or tribe where you can help people with this period of their life?
Well, I think it all came down to a pivotal moment where I knew something was wrong, and I had all the, despite all of my failures of the past, I now lived a pretty good life. I had all the, you know, outward appearance of doing well, and, you know, I did have a good life. I've got a wonderful wife, great kids, live in a nice house. I've got stable work and all this kind of thing, but I don't know, I sensed that... there was something deeply wrong and that I just wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't happy. I didn't feel like anything I was doing work-wise had any purpose or meaning to it. And I kind of went through my own midlife crisis. My dad had only recently retired. He was having a wonderful life. He had lots of freedom. He was traveling. He was fit and healthy. And I don't know, I was just thinking that I've been through all of this crap for all these years of success, failure, huge failure, divorce, lost everything, ended up with absolutely nothing. In fact, ended up 140 grand in the red, and I thought, what am I doing all this for? So ultimately it led to me finding you guys and learning from you guys, but it, throughout that process, I guess I just got to a point where I thought, I know there are heaps of other people out there going through this same crap that I'm going through, and I've done so many different things in my life, and I've learned so many valuable lessons, especially when it comes to things like overwhelm and lacking a sense of purpose and money issues and having no time, working 20 hours straight day after day after day and not seeming to get anywhere. And I thought, you know, I really want to share this with other people. I've always been writing since I was a kid. I've always enjoyed communicating with people. I've been on stage for events at different times of my life, and I thought, I want to do something that's really purposeful and has some long-term value for people, and I don't care if I make a dollar out of it or not. I just want to do something authentic, something real, something of value, and doing it online is the best way to distribute that.
Okay, that's great.
And this was about 2 years ago. This was about 18 months ago, because the sort of the crisis thing happened a few years ago, and it reached a pivotal point in late 2015, which is when I discovered you guys. And then as I started on this journey with the 365 Days to Freedom program, that's when I started to think, okay, I really want to do something purposeful. And that's how this was born.
Okay, great. I think, you know, when I just listened to you, and it kind of brings up a few things we're talking about. We're mentioning a lot on the blog. One is what you just said, that you kind of had the the appearance of success, or a fairly successful life, and you kind of realized at some point something was wrong. And sometimes it takes time to realize that, and just keep going, and until one day you reach, as you said, a pivotal point where you realize something is really wrong actually about this. So
yeah,
that's one great thing. The other thing I think is really interesting, how you explained how you used I guess the stuff you knew and the things you were doing well to kind of come up with this this project. So you were saying you've always been writing, and you're not only writing on this blog, you're also doing a podcast. And mm-hmm. And the other one, I think it's really important when you say you know that you just started this project without any specific end or goal in mind. You just decided to start it and, you know, see how it goes. And I think lots of people get stuck, and, you know, they have some ideas, and sometimes they kind of hesitate to get started because they think he should maybe make money, or he should have something, a kind of a grand plan of something very, very structured. And at the end of the day, and I was in that position myself a while ago, and at the end of the day, often you kind of miss great opportunities for your life. So it's really great that you started this project a bit on the side, I guess. And so,
I think that as soon as, when do you start a project and your primary objective, especially if it's any kind of creative endeavor, I think if you start it with the sole objective of, or the primary objective of making money, it makes it very hard to do a good job of it. Unless you're doing specifically a business of some sort whose sole purpose is to generate revenue, to build traffic and to sell something, which is, you know, fine, providing it, you know, conforms with your ideals and your principles, well, then that's okay. But when you want to do something, I think, that's truly from the heart, and you really want to do it because you feel the urge to serve and to share what you've learned, then I think you do a far better job of it if you leave the whole money side of it out of it. Not that I don't want to make money from it. And, you know, I do plan to generate revenue from this down the track, and I have some ideas around that, but they are all still founded upon delivering something of value in return, in exchange for that revenue, you know?
Yeah.
So it all comes down to authenticity, I think. And that was ultimately the thing that was really causing me to feel aimless and depressed, was that I felt like all of this work that I was doing, sure, it had generated some money and it had bought me some stuff, but it didn't deliver any sense of purpose or meaning, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I was checking your blog earlier today, and it's something that comes to mind when you check the blog. The first thing that comes to mind is that this guy is kind of really helpful. So, you know, when you read the, for instance, the blog headlines or stuff like that, it really feels like helpful stuff, and you have a great deal of authenticity as well on your about page, for instance. Okay, great. So, anything else you want to say on this?
No, I think, you know, we might go into a little bit more in a minute, but, you know, it's, I think this whole thing of fame and visibility and likability through social media is a huge block for a lot of people who want to go and do something of their own design, who want to blaze their own trail. I think that this feeling that you need to reach a certain level that is measured only through things like revenue or audience size or followers, you know, and things like that, I think that to a large extent holds you back from starting, and it holds you back from persisting and continuing on through, because it doesn't matter how exciting the thing is that you're planning to do or how much fun you have doing it. Ultimately, everything gets to a point where sometimes you just cannot be stuffed. You don't want to do it. And it's only when you have a genuine purpose for doing it that you go, nah, I have to do it, because it's not just about me making another $1,000 or $500 or getting another, you know, 100 likes. It's about there's someone there who I've been serving and they're expecting to get something from me today.
Exactly.
So I have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. All right. So if we take a step back for a moment and see the broader picture. So how was kind of life like before you started this this project, and what did it change for you? I mean, not only from a financial point of view, but, you know, I guess you started making good use of your writing skills and stuff like that. So can you tell us a bit about this, how what it kind of changed in your daily life?
Well, before I started writing on a regular, before I committed to writing on a weekly basis and building Midlife Tribe into something that I could be proud of, my life was just a blur of wake up, work till I'm exhausted, collapse, go to sleep, get up and do it again. And it was all work that was largely of a technical nature for software companies and other businesses that I've served for many years. But none of it had a cumulative effect. None of it built on the work that I'd done before to produce something that I could sort of hold in my hand and go, I built this and I'm proud of it, you know? So my life was one that was extremely busy, making good money, had clients who liked and respected me and valued my my work, had only really recently dug myself out of the financial hole following the very costly divorce, and it ended with me, well, it culminated in me sitting on the toilet at 2 o'clock in the morning once, staring at my phone, Googling things like, why am I so depressed? You know, so I just became a mid-40s cliche at that moment. And like I said, that's when I found Pay to Exist. And as I read through the website, I immediately found a kindred spirit there. And I read everything, signed up for the 365 days program, and then I started digging myself out of the psychological hole. I'd already dug myself out of the financial hole, but it wasn't enough. I was still... It was almost like it compounded the problem, because it's sort of like, well, if you get your finances sorted, then you should be happy, you know. But No, that's just one little part of life, and there's a whole lot more to it. So that started the process of me digging myself out of the psychological hole of, why am I doing all the shit that I do? It doesn't seem to have any real purpose to it. So now, fast forward a couple of years, that was late 2015, I read... The emails every single day for the 365-day program, and a lot of the stuff I put into action, a lot of the stuff I didn't, but it was just a wonderful kick in the pants every day, a dose of encouragement, a touch of wisdom, and just kind of having this guy who I respected just there giving me a nudge every single day. And now my life is one where I continue to work for the same businesses. I say no to certain new opportunities as they come along now, or I forward them on to other people who can do those things. And I wake up every day now with a sense of genuine purpose and excitement for the work that I'm doing, because I can now stand back and look proudly at a body of work, and I know it is a foundation built upon integrity and authenticity, and I can now build something of substance from this that I expect will serve me and my family until I shuffle off. So life is very different now. Life has a real sense of purpose and genuine, authentic satisfaction from the work that I do.
Yeah, this is really, really cool. Thanks for sharing this. And sorry. So if we talk about the 365 Days to Freedom program, I think it's
sure.
It's really interesting what you say, because, you know, it is an email with one mission every day, but I guess that's one important point. If you don't have to complete every mission every day, you might postpone some, or you might just feel a nice kick in the pants every day, just to make mm-hmm. sure you actually do work on your yeah. on your project. So that's really interesting. And how do you think it helped you achieve results? Was it mostly this kick in the pants effect on a daily basis?
Well, you know what? I reckon the most important thing, Cedric, was apart from the fact that the stuff in the program is clearly very well thought out. It's not padded out with platitudes. It is all clearly very original and authentic and genuine. So it really feels like you have a person there who you've gotten to know, who genuinely cares about moving you along in the direction that you want to go. But I think the key thing is, apart from the fact that it is consistent, it's the fact that it keeps you thinking the right way. I mean, we all know that, you know, victories and failures usually happen in your mind before they manifest out there in reality. And if you just have somebody there who keeps you thinking the right way and moving forward every single day, and not with any rah-rah platitudes pulled off the internet somewhere, but stuff that is genuine and authentic and original, well, when you're struggling to make sense of things, let alone make any meaningful progress, you know, you have someone or something there that is there for you every single day, giving you short, concise, and meaningful support. And that's what the 365-day program did for me. It made sure I didn't fall off the wagon, and it kept me moving forward one day at a time, because you reach a kind of a critical mass, a pivotal point where you become so accustomed now to every day just doing a little bit, just a little bit. It's like that old thing of getting, you know, 1% better every day.
Yeah.
When you have that constant little nudge, that gentle little nudge every day, it starts to fill you with a sense of reassurance that I've gone far enough now that I can never slip back again. You know, I'm now so conditioned to be just doing a little every day that it is impossible now for me to fall off the wagon like I have on so many other projects in the past. I'm now in this for good.
Yeah.
So it's enormously powerful. It really is.
I think, you know, even outside of this program, when you think about the concept of a one daily action, even if it's a small one as a routine, mm-hmm. it is really almost 400 actions within a year. So that's really it's really a huge, mm-hmm. a huge, it makes a huge difference. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sharing this. And I had another question. You know, I went, as I said, I went through your website this morning, and I saw it changed a bit over the last year. There is more in there now. And mm-hmm. I know, you know, if people go to check it out after listening to the interview, it might... It's often, you know, when you discover kind of an expert's website for the first time, it feels a bit intimidating because there is all that stuff in there, and you're kind of wondering, I'm never going to be able to, you know, create a website with so much great stuff. And for instance, you have now you have a podcast, you have also the book that you mm-hmm. that you wrote. So I guess you probably started from a small, maybe with a few blog posts or something. Can you give us a feel of how that thing grew to where it is today, to a kind of great site with a podcast and a book and everything?
Yeah, well, it basically just took a lot of work and a lot of consistent work over 2 years. I mean, the first website was kind of crap, and you know, it's like pretty much all the work that I do that's creative in nature, or particularly anything that I do that's visual in nature. Within a year, I hate the look of it. So the site has gone through quite a few iterations, but you know, of course, with WordPress or even with Squarespace these days, it's not hard to create something that looks nice. You know, themes and templates and that sort of stuff make the job a whole lot easier than what it was back in 96 when I first started building websites in HTML. But you know, I started out with a commitment that, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be consistent and I'm not going to waver from my consistency. And I wrote one blog post and I published it. And that was it. I didn't have three in the bag, you know, ready to go. I had one and I wrote it and I published it. And then I wrote another one a week later and I published it. It was simply one step at a time. And then after a few months, I realized I needed to have a decent about page. And then, you know, it wasn't until 18 months later that I thought I really should have a page there where it's a start here page so that people can get an overview of where they could begin and what topics, what blog posts relate to which topics that might help them. And, you know, it wasn't probably until, well, certainly more than a year into writing that I realized, well, I should be giving people the option to subscribe so that they can receive an email when I write a new blog post. Somebody might actually be interested to know that, you know. So really, Cedric, it was incremental. The most important thing that I have continued to work on is to refine exactly what the key message is, and who it is that I'm really writing to, you know. And the other trinkets like the podcast and, you know, the book that I wrote, and stuff like that, they were all sort of added later, and they were less important, although the podcast now I think is becoming very important just because of the growth in popularity and consumption of podcasts. Plus it's fun, you know, just chatting with people around the world and learning stuff and sharing it. But mate, it was just one step at a time. The most important thing was for me to figure out, why am I doing it? Who am I serving? What change do I seek to, you know, help them make in their lives? You know, what can I write about and talk about that could be valuable to somebody else in my situation who's struggled, who's been through divorce, who's, you know, hit the wall financially and, you know, who's worked their ass off their whole life and doesn't have anything to show for it now. You know, just to get that right and then just write it one post a week on topics which I thought would help people like that.
Okay.
You know, so now you know, it's like that old thing, you say you don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle or end, and this is my middle. I'm 2 years in now, and aside from writing that book, which was actually more an exercise for me to learn what it's like to write a book and publish it and promote it, because I wrote a much bigger book, which I haven't published, which I'll publish later. You know, all of this is just stuff that's come sort of on the periphery, you know.
Yeah.
The blog posts and the help that I'm trying to deliver is still the most important thing.
Okay.
And generating revenue from it is only something that I'm going to start exploring now. It's really was never the objective, but you know, now I have a foundation that's authentic and real. Now I know I've got something to build on to actually generate revenue, whether it's through you know, a course or another book, or it's some kind of program that teaches people what I've learned in a structured fashion. Well, then, you know, I'm going to pursue that in 2018.
Great, cool. So big year then.
Yeah, yeah. This is going to be the year where I start tackling the commercial side of things a bit more.
Okay, great. And I think you just highlighted something really, really important, which is how important it is to invest, you know, time and resources thinking about what's your core message, who you're serving, and what they, I guess, you know, what really matters to them and what they really need. So that's really really important.
So important, so important. Otherwise, you end up investing a year or two of your life into something which is inauthentic.
Yeah, and I guess, then, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'm just going to say, and then you basically wasted your time, and you've wasted the time of other people too.
Yeah, and even I think, even if you don't sell anything, if you just want to help people with a little side project, with a blog, if you don't know who you're serving and what's important to them, and you know how to reach them, you just can't get your message across. and then that defeats the whole purpose. Great. So thanks, Peter. And is there anything else you'd like to share on this or something else?
Well, the only thing I think that has really been important to me is that if you're not doing, and this is the thing that I really picked up when I landed on Paid to Exist, and this is really what started my whole journey on reinventing my midlife was finding you guys. And it all comes down to living authentically. It's a platitude that gets bandied around all over the place, you know, it's everywhere. But the reality is, in my mind, is most of the misery out there in the world that is driven internally, not stuff that is caused by outside circumstances, but most of the internal misery out there is simply because people aren't living authentically. They're not doing what really resonates with them, what really matters to them. They're using outside signals and drivers to determine what they do with their lives on a day-to-day basis. And life goes bloody fast. And it's not hard to do something you hate for 50 years and then you get to, you know, your 70s and think, shit, I haven't done something that was important to me this whole time, you know? And we get, I mean, it's a 1 in 400 trillion chance that we even exist. You know, I read about this stuff long before Gary Vaynerchuk started talking about it on Instagram and Facebook. And it really is an incredible fluke of good fortune that we're even here. I mean, we could have been born a tree or a dog or a bacteria, you know, but we're not. And we get to experience this very brief but magical time here, and we should be doing something that really resonates with us and really matters to us so we can enjoy life to its fullest, you know, in a way that is, you know, true to us. So I think that the internet particularly now makes that possible, so much more possible than what it did for our parents. You know, the fact that we can now reach 3.5 billion people in a, you know, reach a very narrow niche of those people who are sort of our tribe, who are into what we're into, who have the same challenges that we have, and, you know, we can serve those people. That's an incredible opportunity. And this is the first time in generations that we have that opportunity. So I think if ever there was a time to do something, even if it's just on the side, but to do something which is authentic and truly who you are, this is definitely the time now. We're living in it. We're very lucky.
Great. Some food for thoughts, I guess. Thanks, Peter. Thanks a lot. And I guess before we wrap things up, what's the best way for people who are listening to this interview to kind of, you know, connect with you and discover your work online?
Well, Cedric, I'm always hanging around Instagram if people prefer that kind of thing, at Midlife Tribe, to a lesser extent with Facebook. I don't want to spend too much time on Instagram, on social media. It just sort of sucks the life out of your day. But all the important work that I do can be found at midlifetribe.com.
Okay, great. Perfect. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Peter. And we'll catch up soon. Thanks. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, Cedric. I hope we get to catch up face to face someday. That'd be great.
Thank you.